Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Okay, it's already Tuesday. Week one's in the books. That means Thursday night football.
Wow.
A couple sleeps away right here on NFL Network. Wow is right.
We don't waste any time.
We really don't. One of the league's most storied rivalries. Saquon is back. Maybe he gets more snaps, more play. Maybe he turns things around for those Giants as they go down to Washington to take on Chase Young and the Washington football team. Man, I don't know how that division crown is going to go in the NFC East. But welcome right here to Good Morning Football. That Thursday night football game is right here on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We are brought to you by Old Trapper Beef Jerky, live in New York at September 14th. I'm Kay Adams. Kyle Brandt suited.
Yeah. Suited up.
What's going on?
And I think we just had the best Monday Night Football game of the year.
We
might have already done
Peter Schrager. We've got Thomas Davis joining us. Steve Aoki, part of the celebrations. It was wild out there in Vegas to kick it off. And here in 2021, the Raiders, Schrags, made some huge plays to get the win. Exciting finish. What'd you make of it?
I just am happy for that guy right there, Derek Carr, because this could be a very different morning, and it might not necessarily have been his fault. I thought he played so well over the second half and in the overtime, and just crazy things were happening, whether it be the false start or whether it be, oh my gosh, the interception where it's in Willie Snead's hands in the end zone. And yet, they come out with the victory. It didn't start pretty for Derek Carr. I'm watching it. It felt like it was a video game where it was like, just pass to Darren Waller every time, and it wasn't working.
And they were down 14-0.
They were down big, and it was like, just focus in on Waller. That's the only guy we have. And I remember saying out loud, like, hey, you got Ruggs. You got Josh Jacobs. He targeted Waller 10 times in the first half. They had nothing going on. He started the game 2-for-10. It was ugly. This was a pick that was deflected. It was as if he was zeroed in on Waller and this was a high school quarterback with his favorite receiver. And then things started to change. In the second half, in the overtime, Carr just came into himself. And to come over the adversity of the start to this game, down 14-0 after a whole offseason of expectations, and then to say, it's not just going to be Darren Waller. We're going to get Bryan Edwards involved. We're going to throw that dime on 3rd and 10. And then to deal with the adversity, you know, after the Edwards thought of touchdown where he was a yard short, not only were the Raiders players celebrating, Ravens players were hugging Raiders players and saying good game. Like, everyone thought it was over. It wasn't over. They had this thing ripped out of their hands again, and then Carr, who so appropriately and so, I want to say, poetically said it is like his career. It was up and down.
Up and
crap.
Down,
up and down, and crap. And then we found a way. Good for Derek Carr. Good for the Raiders. They're 1-0, and I'll tell you what, Derek Carr played his butt off after 11 o'clock Eastern. Like, the first hour and a half, you're like, I don't know. Woke up this morning, I was happy to talk about Derek Carr in a good way.
You know, going into the game, for me, I think one of the real things, the real questions was what these running backs were going to do in this game. Okay. That's one of the things I was looking forward to. And they played phenomenal. They did a great job. But Lamar down the stretch, you know, he was typical Lamar. He had a great game. And then down the stretch, he just got way too careless with the football. Those two turnovers were ultimately what killed his football team. It wasn't about what the Raiders were able to do. They never would have had those opportunities had Lamar not fumbled the ball at the end of the game.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason he was talking about it. He knows he blew it. And it's one way to look at it, Thomas, that Lamar blew it. Like, I personally, with all due respect, choose to look at those as takeaways, not turnovers. I think the Raiders stripped him. I think they made plays. And I have to say, like, it's easy to get caught up in the emotions. I think that was the biggest Raider win in, like, 5 years. I really do. Now, I know they beat the Chiefs last year.
Week five.
But this was at home. This is Monday Night Football. Everyone's oohing and aahing over Peyton and Eli, and they won. And the vibe was so cool. You know, we asked the question yesterday, like, is this thing going to work? Does anybody care about the Las Vegas? I know they care about the Oakland Raiders. They really did. It was awesome. And Carr was not just BSing at the end when he said the fans were great and the fans were smart. And I have to tell you, if you didn't see the beginning of this game, you saw SoFi Stadium the other night, and they bring out Michael Buffer, and it's very L.A., and it's the let's get ready to you-know-what. Vegas said, I will see your Michael, and I will do this Vegas style and raise you Bruce. This was awesome.
Three-time world champion, Las Vegas Raiders! It's time!
And you know what, Bruce? It was time. It was time. It was time to open that place, and it was time to win. And it wasn't just shrimp and buffer and bottle service. The football was good. And they won in overtime. It wasn't time. It was overtime, and they won. Awesome night. Awesome night.
I'm going to be the one to sort of like rain on the parade this morning a little bit. Great plays were made. Carl Nassib getting them the ball back. I saw Max Crosby did his thing. It was great to see that as well. Plays being made by guys like Zay Jones you wouldn't expect. They have some depth. It's cool. I've been heartbroken by this team so many times since the start of our show. I refuse to buy in right now. Like, we can be like, Derek Carr, great job. I mean, the Steelers beat the Bills, and we're like, great job, Big Ben. We're not doing it. I need to see consistency. You mentioned the Chiefs. When was that?
Last year.
Week five, right? Yeah. Week two, they beat the Saints. Uh-huh. Then the next week, they got beat. They got the brakes beat off them by Cam Newton. Right. Before I get excited, Triggs, I need to see it more consistently. Is that crazy that
No, it's fair.
I'm
look.
Just like, I don't want to get too excited.
They're going
right
to
now.
Pittsburgh next week. It's going to be a little different, but let's enjoy
it. You got to give them one hot minute.
I get it.
Because I'm usually on your side.
I get it, but like, this is okay, so who won in the AFC? The Steelers won, the Chiefs won, and the Raiders won?
Mm-hmm.
Does this change how we look at the Raiders? We're just giving them their moment right now, right? I'm scared to get emotionally invested because I need to see. This was it. Trey.
It's very Vegas-like. Exactly.
Guess what? Vegas, you could enjoy a night in Vegas.
That's true.
But you don't want to get emotionally invested.
I didn't see that buffer bit either. That kind of. If I was there, I'd
Vegas
be
guy,
all
Tom?
Over.
Awesome.
Yes.
Sure.
Big time Vegas guy.
Can they win this type of game in December? That's the question for the Las Vegas Raiders. Thank you so much. You guys, great combo there. We'll talk AFC. We'll talk NFC. We'll get you set for Thursday Night Action. But let's bring in Tom Pelissero now this morning to hang out with us. Tom, I know, Debbie Downer over here. Huge matchup on NFL Network, though, this Thursday to kick off week two. NFC East, Giants, Washington. Everyone's asking what's going on with Ryan Fitzpatrick and that hip.
Okay, an MRI on Monday confirmed this is a serious injury for Ryan Fitzpatrick. It is a hip subluxation, which is a partial dislocation where the ball comes at least a little bit out of the socket. So at this point, nobody is ruling out Fitzpatrick for the season. He is still undergoing second opinions, but he's going on to injured reserve, and Washington just has to see how his 38-year-old body responds. For now and the foreseeable future, it is Taylor Heineke's Washington football team, the one-time undrafted free agent out of Old Dominion. He's been released 5 times, signed with Washington last December, ended up starting a playoff game and nearly beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Washington re-signed him to a 2-year deal back in January that's heavy on incentives. Those are now reachable. Coach Ron Rivera also said they're not looking outside for a quarterback, and that includes Cam Newton. So it'll be Kyle Allen backing up Taylor Heineke. They also signed Kyle Shermer, the son of Pat, to the practice squad. Okay.
Nice. Appreciate you. Great little nugget there. Thanks, Tom Pelissero. We got a big show today. Scott Pioli joining us, giving us an office perspective. I've got waiver wire grabs. Thomas Davis has something coming even he doesn't know about right here on the show. Green Bay had a rough opener against the Saints. Should Packers fans be worried? Are we all overreacting to week one? Liar, liar is next. Jim Carrey's here, guys. Exciting finish last night in Las Vegas that brings an end to week one. Week one, a.k.a. known as Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire Week. That according to Kyle Brandt, who is very consistent on one thing all offseason and really since the show began. Week one is a liar. Week one, we don't really know what teams look like, what they are, what they're capable of in their first week of action. True?
Oh, very true. Pathological liar. Last year, the Bucs lost the week one, winning the Super Bowl. Last year, the Jaguars won week one, lost 15 straight. It's a pathological liar.
Love that. So this week, we had 11 upsets. All four NFC West teams got a win. All four NFC North teams, if I've said a million times over the past 24 hours, they all are 0-4. All of them were handed L. So truly a baffling result. Let's put our takes to the test with something that we are calling Liar, Liar Takes on Fire.
Love it.
Love a pun. Here's how it works. I'm going to dish out a statement based on the past week of play. One by one, you'll tell me if you think that statement is true, which will be accompanied by this, Xana.
Oh, that's cool.
That is neat.
Oh, yeah, that was right. Or this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. same thing. It'll be a lot of fun. You can play along at Gene with B. Sorry you don't have a graphics person behind you to help you at home. First, after a lot of summer hype, the Titans didn't really show up in their week one game against the Cardinals. To make it worse, new addition Julio Jones had a costly penalty in the first quarter that his coach wasn't super happy about. Take a listen to this.
Critical mistake. You know, I don't think that those are absolutely, that's absolutely nothing that we coach or teach. So that would fall into the category of doing dumb shit that hurts the team. Right there in bold letters. Goes from 3rd and 1 to 3rd and 16.
Oh, boy. Besides, the penalty problems on both sides of the ball showed that we may have been a little high on Tennessee. I think it was last week where I was like, why aren't we talking about them as a Super Bowl contender? So here's the statement. The Titans' offseason hype was ridiculous. Is that a truth or a lie?
Ridiculous is strong, but I'm going to say truth because we didn't know what it was going to look like. I'm talking about everyone saying they were going to break records on offense. Like they were, is this like this? No, it's like that. All right.
It's harder than
they're
enough.
Like Carlton right now.
Hey.
The truth or a lie, look, you add Julio Jones and immediately everyone's like, Derrick Henry's going to run for 200 yards and Julio's going to catch for 200 yards. Got to actually play the football. And one of the things that happened, the offensive line was destroyed and none of that stuff will happen if Derrick Henry has 8 yards in the first half like he did on Sunday. I'll further add, you know, your offensive coordinator last year was Arthur Smith, and he's the architect of this offense. He takes a head coaching job. They elevate Todd Downing to offensive coordinator. Let's at least see Todd Downing's offense before we just assume they're going to roll out the ball and play. Look, Tannehill was sacked 6 times. Taylor Lewan was beaten 5 times by Chandler Jones. The hype was ridiculous because we hadn't seen it yet. And whether it was the Dream Team Eagles or we can go all those teams that we have talked about over the last couple of years with the Washington football team bringing in all this talent and then they don't do it on the actual field in the mid-2000s, you got to see it first. It was too much to just say, oh, look on paper. They brought a lot of guys in. I'm going to say truth. It was ridiculous. Let's at least see. They didn't even play in the preseason together.
What do you got?
It's a lie.
Yay!
It's a bold.
Give the man a lie.
It's a bold-faced lie. Listen, Chandler Jones had a game that was out of this world. He came out, he dominated this football game, and how often are you going to play against a guy that's going to get 5 sacks? I mean, it's an anomaly. It don't happen all the time. When you look at what they were able to do in the offseason, this game humbled them. They're going to go back to the drawing board. They're going to realize, hey, we signed Julio Jones for a reason.
Yeah.
We brought Bud Dupree in for a reason. We got to utilize these guys, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and then you get the man, that monster in the backfield going, man. That's how you got to get this offense moving. You got to give the ball to Derrick Henry. You got to allow him to be who he is and do what he's done since he's been in this league, man, and that's be a dominant player.
This is when I'm supposed to come in and disagree with you, but this is a big old fat lie. This is why we do this segment.
So I'm
still
talking about
in.
Kyle.
Big old lie. I'm with you, Thomas. Too many good players, too many good coaches, yes. Too much been there factor. They got the clock clean. They got their butts kicked. I didn't love it. This whole thing about give Derrick Henry the ball. Did you see him get stuffed on the goal line? And we're just showing the sacks over and over. They gave it to him a couple straight times, and it went nowhere. This is supposed to be a lock-in. People get rocked week one. And yes, you know who they play next week? They play Seattle. It's not great. I don't even care if they go 0-2. I'm still in. Because are you looking at the AFC South and seeing any juggernauts? I'm not. I still think they will get this figured out. I think this is why we're doing this segment.
Yeah,
I think this Titans. JJ looks great.
Other end on this play.
Hey, Peter.
JJ Watt, top of the screen. This is an amazing play by JJ Watt.
You know what's funny about this game? This is perfect. Because we could see the Cardinals go 6-11, and we could see the Titans go 11-6. That's the way it works sometimes. It just flips. But I think it's a lie. I still believe in the Titans.
I'm going to call you out, though. If they're non-competitive like they were this week one against the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle, I think you are going to be worried.
Well, we'll have to do the second.
Listen,
if they lose by a little bit, come on.
They just lost the added game, right?
But I have to be worried about the Colts, Jaguars, or Texans, of which I'm not. That's really what matters. Maybe they won't be that good, but I still think the Titans have it.
Vrabel's tone, general mood, real
Mike
scary.
Vrabel calling out Julio Jones for a personal foul after week one is not weird. Something I saw coming.
In the first quarter, though.
The first quarter, yeah. Why are you rolling your eyes at that? You don't like that?
I mean, listen, man. That didn't cost them the game.
Yeah, I like that.
Come on. Really.
Uh-huh.
A first quarter penalty cost you the game?
Why is he doing that?
It was a lot more that went into that. Taylor Lewan spoke about what cost them the game.
Okay.
So why was he so hard on
him? Him getting his butt kicked.
Why do you think he was that? Like, had that tone? I don't see him like that.
He had to take it out on somebody. Mm-hmm. The way they got whooped, he had high expectations coming into this season as well. And for them to go out and perform the way that they did, obviously he was disappointed.
At GMFB with your thoughts. I like this new game, Kyle.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
thanks for bringing your philosophy to our program.
No problem. Make content. Anytime.
Next up, let's talk a little Packers here. After months of Rodgers discussions, followed by his much-celebrated return in the office shirt, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers did not impress at all on Sunday against the Saints. Not at all. So here's the final statement for this segment. Packers fans should be prepared to get burned this season. Is that a lie or a truth? Ooh, burned.
Okay, here's the deal. He's not coming back, right? For the 99%, he's not coming back. Right? So this is his farewell season and everything. And every Packers fan is like, you can't trade Aaron Rodgers. 1 week in, after losing 31-3, knowing you're getting nothing for Rodgers, he's just going to leave, he's going to retire, he's going to go somewhere else. You will get nothing for Rodgers at the end. I ask you guys let me just put these to the table. If you are the Packers right now, after 1 week, 31-3 loss, knowing you're getting nothing at the end of the season, would you accept this trade from the Denver Broncos?
You're hijacking the segment.
If George Payton from the Broncos has to call up and say, okay, we're going to give you right now Teddy Bridgewater, Bradley Chubb, KJ Hamler, and 3 first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers today. Do you consider it? Kyle, do you consider it?
You want to start with me?
Let's go. Do you consider this?
Yeah, of course I consider it. I consider it, and I kindly pass on it. It's one game. It's Aaron Rodgers. We still have the MVP. He played really bad in one game. It's a nice offer. That's a king's ransom. I'm not trading for
Teddy.
They're
telling me you hijacked the game in my ear,
yep,
Peter.
That's it. Thomas,
I would not consider that. One bit.
Not even for a second.
No.
Knowing you're getting nothing at the end of the season.
Listen, the biggest factor in this whole thing is the compensation. You know, if I was the Broncos, I wouldn't consider it.
No, well, that's not the point. The Broncos are offering it. If you're the Packers, would you?
Oh, so automatic offer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it, the Packers.
Yeah, it's on the table.
Would you trade Aaron Rodgers right now?
No question. He's out of here.
You'd get rid of him?
Out of here. For all of that?
Yes. That might be a legitimate offer.
Absolutely. I'll trade him in a heartbeat.
He's the MVP of the league. You would trade him?
Listen, his age, literally, he probably has 4 more years left, max. If you look at just the first round picks alone, don't even consider the whole Bradley Chubb portion
Chubb
of it.
And Hamler and Bridgewater.
Just the draft picks alone is worth it. If they offered 3 first round picks for him, they absolutely should take that deal.
But he's the best player in the world last year.
But how many more years is he going to be the best player
in
the world?
Okay, but last year they lost to Tampa 38-10, and the world was over, and this man went on to win the – maybe he just not great, doesn't like playing in Florida or something, because that game to Tampa was like, it's done for Rodgers. But he went on and crushed it, so that would be a tough – you're looking at me like,
listen, Aaron Rodgers has a ton left in the tank. Okay. Don't get me wrong. He has a ton left. But 2-3 years max is what he's going to give you.
Yeah.
But you have to realize, if you have an opportunity to get 3 first-round picks and a Bradley Chubb, man, listen, you gotta offer something extra to get that deal done.
Do you think Packers fans are going to get burned, truth or a lie?
I think they are absolutely going to get burned. And
hit the animation.
The reason why I think that is, you look at this offseason and the way things went with Aaron Rodgers and, you know, the whole debacle about, you know, him not being happy about the way the organization has handled the players. And I think that it's sort of seeped into the team. If you look across the board, the whole team came out flat. It wasn't about just Aaron Rodgers not playing well. The defense didn't play well. Jair Alexander, he had a terrible game. And it was just bad for the entire team. And it's hard to kind of bounce back from a loss like that sometimes. And it could kind of linger into the rest of your season. So I definitely feel like they're getting burned right now.
All right. It's well said. And I'm going to respond and just lie. They lost 38-3 in the opener, week one. They lost 38-3. There was another team last year that lost 38-3, the exact same score in week 9. And their quarterback threw 3 interceptions. And they went on to win the Super Bowl. And that was week 9. I'm talking about the Buccaneers and Brady. Week 1, they came out. They got their asses kicked. It happens.
The idea to act that Brady had the same offseason as Rodgers is crazy.
The idea that you're going to talk about Teddy Bridgewater and Aaron Rodgers. Get out of here.
That Rodgers is telling them, I'm done. I'm already done. And they didn't get anything for him. I don't know. It might have been worth them considering some trades.
He was 43. Wow. I think it is comparable. And by the way, what are we bothering? We have Jordan Love. We spent a first-round pick on him. That's our future,
right?
Why do we need a new quarterback tracking all these picks. We're set. We spent the pick. Absolutely.
That's a great point.
Like, just got, be careful. The Packers play the Lions on Monday night. Be careful with your takes right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everybody about the Packers. Be very careful. This could really burn you because this next Monday night could be hell.
Is there anything you're more certain of than this was an outlier game week one for the Packers against the Saints?
I think
they're going to. Yeah, but like it was an outlier.
I would bet my life that Aaron Rodgers comes back surging.
I agree.
My life.
You do too.
I do absolutely. My point was. They know they're getting nothing for him at the end of this. If they don't win a Super Bowl, this season is lost. It's Super Bowl or bust, and that's it, because Rodgers is out the door.
As you may have noticed by now, the home base of NFL Total Access has moved into a beautiful, state-of-the-art, brand-new studio. And last night, Total Access host MJ Acosta-Ruiz was joined by a very special guest, Commissioner Roger Goodell, to discuss the monumental move, week one of the NFL, and more. Take a look.
It is my pleasure to welcome into our new home here in NFL LA, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. And Commissioner, I mean, this entire concept, this brain baby to now where we're sitting now, you are such a part of making this happen. Why was NFL LA, everything we see now, such a huge and important issue for the league and for the fans?
Well, the stadium was a big part of it, too, obviously. Mm-hmm. That vision of, you know, having a world-class stadium, which we were so happy to be part of last night. And I think it put that on the stage that it deserves. But we also felt that this project needed to have a development around it. And NFL media was a big part of that because it's such a big part of who we are and what we do. And I think it's how we're going to reach our fans in the future, right out of this facility. And when you walk around here, it's just amazing to see it come to life and see the people in here and see how excited they are. It just makes it great for all of us.
One of the coolest things is being here. What a lot of folks at home can't see is that we are literally a stone's throw away from SoFi Stadium. So when we feel football, we literally feel it here at NFL LA, across the street from the stadium, as we mentioned. Speaking of which, the game last night, unbelievable. Week one, still one game left, but how has the start of the season been like for you so far?
It's been fabulous. I mean, the biggest thing for us this year, and we saw it last night, was welcoming our fans back. And, in the new facilities, we're going to Vegas tonight, so we'll have an opportunity to do the same in Vegas. But everybody's ready for football to resume. It's a welcoming back of our fans, and it's our opportunity for us to shine. And I think the NFL is ready for that. And all our clubs are. And so is NFL media. So.
No question. And you could really sense that. It was palpable, right? Watching the fans come into the stadiums and then watching the other games, seeing every stadium full. We missed that so much last year. What we didn't miss, however, was a single game in the 2020 season. How proud are you of the way that the NFL was able to complete an entire season in the middle of one of the toughest years globally?
Yeah, I really am proud. I mean, to your point, I think we'll have 1 million people after tonight's game attending this weekend. We had 1.2 million all season last year.
Wow.
So, that puts us on target to get to that 18 or 19 million, and that's what we're shooting for. And the fact that we played last year, we felt a sort of a responsibility to do that last year. We felt like this country, our society, our world needed to show how we can continue to move forward and operate and play and to have a full season. So we were really committed to doing it. I couldn't be prouder of everybody that goes from players to coaches to the union to our clubs to the owners to our media staff, that everybody had to adjust. And we had to adapt all the way through the season. We had a plan going into the season, but by week one, we had a new plan. And we had a new plan as we went through to the Super Bowl. And obviously, as we come into 2021, we have to adapt again. And so we are.
And everyone is doing their part, right, joining in. And it's so great to see the next generation of fans who may not understand in the greater scheme. But to me, there's nothing more ubiquitous than sports and football, of course, especially. One of the things that I really enjoy watching is that next generation of fans. And that starts with our players. I mean, it was like a showcase of the next wave of generational talent. I mean, when you talk about our QBs, Commissioner, several of the top quarterbacks are under 26 years old. What does that say to you about the future of this game?
I think the best days are ahead of us, and it's because of those young, great superstar players, not just quarterbacks, but in every position. And I think they changed the game for us. But you saw it. I think we had three of rookie quarterbacks start yesterday.
Yep.
And I called Russell Wilson the old man when I saw him earlier this summer because, you know, and he's just turned 30, I think. And so, but, you know, I think the great news is they're playing longer. And
yes.
they're actually playing at a higher level for a long period of time, which I think is great news for our fans.
Don't tell Tom Brady that you called Russell Wilson the old man.
No, he knows he's the GOAT. So
right.
he's got his own name. So that's fine.
From the GOAT to the new rookies this year and everywhere in between, everyone's just happy to be back on the field and to have fans along with us. Commissioner, thank you so much for coming through. Please come on back.
MJ, I'd like to stay if I could.
Please,
so it's beautiful.
It. Done and done.
Thank you.
Commissioner, thank you.
I'd want to stay tuned in that beautiful studio. I understand he just popped in. The boss walks in. Show me around. Have a nice little visit there from Commissioner Roger Goodell. Excellent work there by MJ Acosta Ruiz as well. I love MJ because it's so obvious how much she loves football. It's so apparent and palpable. Great interview and great points on adjustments. And now moving on here in the NFL. And thanks, of course, to everyone behind the scenes making this season happen with these fans in the stands like we saw last night in Las Vegas.
Now we want to bring in one of our family members, a member of the show for now the second season, and he is a five-time NFL Executive of the Year. He joins us every Tuesday morning during the season. Let's welcome in Scott Pioli.
What's up, Scott? What's up,
Good
Scott?
Morning.
Good morning. I love the positivity. You got to be positive on Tuesday. You got to. It's a new week. Here we go.
Absolutely, and you always bring some positivity to the show. Let's start by looking back, though, to Sunday's games. What was the most positive, pleasant surprise, or maybe the least surprising thing to you after week one?
Well, I think a pleasant surprise this weekend was the performance of the Pittsburgh Steelers in all three phases of the game. Their defense was terrific, their special teams were good, and the offense didn't lose the game against a very, very good Buffalo Bills football team, who we will be talking about at the end of the season because they are a good team. What I love, though, is Mike Tomlin. This team had been written off by a lot of people, or they're just kind of being ignored. Mike Tomlin consistently shows us why he is one of the best coaches in the National Football League. You're looking at a coach who has had 14 straight winning seasons since taking over as the head coach. He's tied for the NFL record. The other thing with Mike Tomlin is, prior to this weekend against the Buffalo Bills, he had a .650 winning percentage, which is off the charts. Made him number 8 all-time with coaches with 100 wins or more. And I tell you, I love Mike Tomlin. I love what he brings. I've talked to so many people that have worked with him and alongside him, and they all say, you cannot believe how well this guy knows all three phases of the game. Mad respect for Mike Tomlin, who got his Pittsburgh Steelers team playing really well against one of the best teams in the league.
Scott, now to the game which surprised a lot of people on Sunday. The Packers blowout loss to the Saints. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you more impressed with Jameis Winston or more surprised by the poor performance of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
Thomas, I'm going to stay positive here. And what I was impressed with was the Jameis Winston performance. You know, what we're seeing here, I know it's early, it's week one, but this could be the confluence of a tremendous talent with the exact right coach at the exact right time. You know, Jameis Winston is a player who, again, was a top pick, didn't do very well in Tampa Bay, but I think he kind of had this, I want to call it, he's kind of sensed his football mortality by having to sit on the bench the entire year. And when a player's faced with their football mortality, Thomas, you know this as well, what it does, it reminds you how much you love the football game. And I think Jameis has understood now how much he loves the football game. Now, what we need to see out of him, is he going to be consistent? Is he going to be the mature player that he needs to be? Because now he knows and has an idea of what can work. So I was really excited for Jameis Winston because Jameis could be good for the Saints, but this could also be good for the National Football League.
No doubt. Pound for pound, there's not a more entertaining player in the whole league than Jameis Winston. Scott, let's talk Washington. All right, they're going to be without Ryan Fitzpatrick for weeks. 6 to 8 weeks, we're hearing. Taylor Heinicke takes over. Cam Newton is sitting there. He's on record. There aren't 32 guys better than me. He has a long history with Ron Rivera, the Washington head coach, and he's sitting there as a free agent. Seems like a good fit. Great young defense. A lot of weapons. Give us the front office perspective. How does a relationship between a coach and a player weigh in here?
Kyle, what you need to do is respect your coaches and go with a lot of the information that the coaches have. You know, in my history, what I did with a lot of head coaches and worked alongside people, they wanted to go back to people to bring on the roster when there was an injury, a player that they had familiarity with. Because at this point in the season, there's a system in place. There's an offensive system in place. So you want to bring back a player that you have familiarity with. Now, the other part is you may have wanted to have built your team to have a backup quarterback that you drafted and brought up within your system. But if you're looking outside, I go back to some of the times where, you know, when we were at the Jets, a quarterback that we brought in as a backup but ended up playing actually was Vinny Testaverde. Then we went to the New England Patriots, and he was a backup to Tom Brady. Vinny knew the program. He knew the system. He knew the people. He had worked with Charlie Weiss. He had worked with Bill Belichick, even though Bill was a coordinator. So I think that this is a time where there has to be a collaboration between the front office and the head coach and the offensive coordinator to make sure you're bringing in someone that you have some degree of institutional history with.
Well said. I'm trying not to overreact about things like the Packers or the Saints or Jameis Winston, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's very common for people like me, people who are in these seats, on these desks, with this great lighting, and fans alike, to sort of overreact after week one. Are front offices the same, or are y'all smarter than everybody else?
We're not smarter than everyone else. Okay, I wouldn't call it that. I think we're just emotionally muted because we have to be. I think when you're raised in this game and you're a coach and you're a front office person, yes, you're feeling the emotions, you're feeling the reaction, but you know that you have to lead because so many people are looking at you. You know, there's been times, again, where internally you may react or overreact, but you can't let it show and you can't let it manifest itself in your behavior or your decision making. You know, I go back to the 2003 season, Kay, when I was with the New England Patriots. We were at the end of the preseason and we cut Lawyer Malloy due to salary cap reasons 5 days before the opener against the Buffalo Bills. A lot of things were thrown out of whack. He was our defensive captain. It impacted our locker room. There was a lot of negative energy at the time. We went out into week one and got absolutely whipped by the Buffalo Bills, beat 31-0. And at that point in time, that was, again, the 2003 season. The year before, we didn't make the playoffs. So there was a lot of uncertainty. Yes, we won the Super Bowl 2 years before, but no one believed in us. But what we had to do was not overreact to that game. Dial in. So we play a couple more games. Then we're sitting there after 4 games, we're 2-2, and people are still overreacting to what we are as a football team. We turn around and we rattle off 15 wins in a row and win our second Super Bowl. What I'm saying this for is for all the people that are out there that are fans, don't overreact. Give your team a chance. Give your system a chance. It's way too early, folks.
You must have missed earlier in the show, Scott, where I was suggesting the Packers trade Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos after week one. You clearly have a different view for
crazy, Peter.
Hey, look, Sam Adams scored that touchdown. It was lovely, but you guys got the last laugh, right?
It was brutal. It was a brutal couple of weeks because, again, it didn't end after that, even when we won the next 2 games, because we lost our 4th game. And, again, that was the year that I actually had a for sale sign put on my front lawn by some unhappy fan.
Oh. Wow. They say, hey, everyone wants
true
to be
story.
A GM. It's not all roses. Yeah, that's it. Scott, you're awesome. We appreciate you coming in with your vantage point, and we love the stories. And Sam Adams scored. But you got the Super Bowl ring. Congrats, my friend.
Thanks, everybody. Great to see you.
Time to look at the Week 2 Power Rankings, courtesy of our own Dan Hansis. Now, we always do this with a theme each and every week. And with that great Raiders win last night, let's do it with the theme of Raiders. Starting off in the Tomb Raider division, shout out Lara Croft, wherever you might be. The Jacksonville Jaguars are the 32nd team, according to Dan Hansis. The Lions, after that comeback, Jets, Texans. You got the Bears way down at 26, Giants, Panthers. All right, let's move up a little bit to the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders division. That's their mascot. All right, there's Washington at 22. What does that make you think of, Thomas Davis?
Just a motivational tactic for Coach Rivera, man. He's going to look at this, and he's going to tell this team this week this
All right.
is what they think about you guys. So
Rivera, power-ranking guy.
Yes.
Are you saying that hypothetically or really?
I'm talking about like legit team meeting.
I love it.
On the board.
All right, well, Ron, show this. Let's move on to the Raiders of the Lost Ark division. Bad dates. Start in the upper left corner. The Niners and the Saints round out the top 10. Chargers, great win. Packers down to 12.
12.
A big plummet, as they probably should have. And then the rest of this, the field you can see there. How do you beat Raiders of the Lost Ark? Next, we'll go to the final one, the Room Raiders division. Who passes the black light test? Number one, the Bucks. The Chiefs, Rams, Seahawks, Steelers into the top five, right above the team they just beat, the Bills, and then the Ravens after a loss, and the Browns after a loss. We do not make these. Let's bring in the man behind the power. His name is Daniel Hansis. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. And first of all, Room Raiders, I knew I could count on you, Kyle. And also, like, so now I'm an enemy of the state with Ron Rivera. I respect the hell out of that man. I didn't sign up for this.
That's pretty cool, and you can talk to Thomas about it in a minute. Apparently, Ron watches, and he takes them and shows the team. So, Dan, we'll talk about all kinds of things, but first of all, what a great game last night. Overtime thriller. We're always here for in Las Vegas. The Raiders beat the Ravens. What stood out to you most in that wild game, and how did it impact these here rankings?
Yeah, how fun was that? The monoculture is dead in our society, but the last thing we have together is watching sports and sharing it on social media, and the Raiders and Ravens really gave us something special. And, you know, I just thought the Raiders, to me, I don't know really what changes. I know I moved them up the power rankings because they're going to get goosed after winning in week one against the good Baltimore team, but they're just so, they seem ridiculous, and that's a compliment. I know they're going to score a lot of points, and that's good, and I love Darren Waller getting targeted 19 times is pretty crazy, but then John Gruden says after the game, he's the best player I've ever coached, and John Gruden's been around forever, so I think Derek Carr is going to have a really nice season. I like Bryan Edwards a lot, and maybe Henry Ruggs has a bigger part of the pie this season. There are pieces here. I don't know if this isn't a Super Bowl team, but it could be a fun one.
We hope so. You're a fun one, Hansis. Let's talk Steelers. They jump over the Bills. It does makes perfect sense. Of course, they got a win in Buffalo. What was impressive to you, though, specifically from Pittsburgh's performance?
Yeah, and I talked about it, Kay, going into week one, that I always like institutional consistency and coaches and GMs and power structures that come back intact. I think that covers up for sins for teams that might seem like they're question marks. That was the Steelers entering this year. And what do we see? It's the same old Steelers. They go up to Buffalo against the Bills team and a Bills quarterback that shredded top 10 defenses all year. And what do? They keep Josh Allen in the pocket. TJ Watt doing his nonsense to the opposing team. Minkah Fitzpatrick holding things down in the back end. And they eliminate the chunk plays from the Buffalo Bills offense. And that opens the door for Big Ben and the offense to find its footing, do their thing that they do in the late period Roethlisberger era, where maybe they start slow, but all of a sudden you look up and they've scored on four straight possessions and they're walking out with a win, and all the Bills fans are heading to the parking lot with 5 minutes to play in the game. It was a perfect Steelers win, and it kind of juiced that whole team.
Dan, let's focus on the first game of the season. Why should the America's team be excited about the loss to the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I mean, Thomas, I think it's the same with the Raiders. They're going to be fun to watch, and it's because of that offense. I don't know about the defense, if they're going to get enough stops to make this a team that can win double-digit games. But when you have Dak Prescott playing the way he does, you are going to be in a lot of games. Now, the defense, they had the turnovers in this game, four turnovers. Some of them were a little fluke. You had a Hail Mary here. You had a dropped Leonard Fournette pass that turned into an INT there. So I'm not really buying in yet on this opportunistic big D defense yet, that angle of it. But I'm absolutely buying in on Dak being an MVP candidate. I'm absolutely buying in on Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb being the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver in football by January. This is going to be fireworks all day and a lot of, hopefully, if you're a Cowboys fan, 38-31 type wins.
That's it's a great take. I love the CD and Amari. It's like 1-2, and then you could also go the other way and be like, no, Amari's 1 and CD's 2. That's how good they are. Speaking of surprises, Cardinals, Titans, I mean, you talk about just two teams that were getting different types of buzz over the offseason. Titans being Super Bowl, Cardinals, people be like, I don't know. Does this recalibrate things now as we're going for Arizona, as we see them just walk into Nashville and just beat up on Mike Vrabel's Titans?
Yeah, I mean, it has to. And I think after a season, an offseason where everyone was talking up every other team in the NFC West but the Cardinals, of course what happens in week one is nobody looks better. in the NFC West, then the Cardinals against the Titans. And I thought Christian Kirk, their wide receiver, put it out there in the media that there's a chip on their shoulder because they heard it. They saw it. They're like Ron Rivera. They're reading the power rankings. They're annoyed that everyone overlooked them. And then here we have a legit MVP candidate in Kyler Murray. Chandler Jones and the rest of that front seven has a chance to really be fearsome. So what you saw against the Titans was if another team's not ready to play, if you catch the Cardinals when they're feeling good, it is going to get ugly in a hurry. And I don't know, is it even possible to have four teams from the same division make the playoffs? No, but I'm not counting out the Cardinals as one of the three that could go from the West.
Respect rank. Dan, you took these to a new level this week. We love the power rankings. We will see you next week. Thank you for joining us.
I respect you, Ron Rivera, and I'm sorry. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks so much, Hamza.
Thanks, Dan. Make sure to check out those NFL power rankings, a vulgar display of power rankings, if you will. They are presented by Energizer every Tuesday on NFL.com and in primetime Tuesdays on NFL Network.
Will, I'm looking at the schedule, I'm looking at waiver wires, I want to fix things. Week one's a little measly, so it's officially in the books. Got to fix up and tweak those fantasy rosters. Thomas Davis, do not get lazy after week one. We got to make adjustments, okay?
Absolutely. It's all a part of the game. You've got to make adjustments.
Here's a couple players I think you should take a serious look at on the waiver wire. I'll start with the man who took down the reigning MVP on Sunday, Jameis Winston. This is a guy I talked about leading up to kickoff to the 2021 regular season. He finished week one as the third highest scoring quarterback in the league with those five touchdown passes. He didn't get knocked for any interceptions. It's not an outlier, people. He was a top five finisher in 2019, his last year as a starter. I'm not saying start him every week, but honestly, why not? He has some great matchups on the schedule. Teams like the Jets coming up, the Titans, the Cowboys, two against the Falcons. He'll have a whole lot of opportunities to play him. Oh, you want another quarterback, Thomas? You want another quarterback?
I just want to know whoever playing the Bears.
I love it. Yeah,
the Bengals.
Sean Desai, you're on notice. How about Teddy Bridgewater? Teddy had an impressive debut. 264 yards, two touchdowns against the Giants defense that is pretty tough. So if you're streaming quarterbacks or play daily, I love the next two for Teddy. He has the Jags, who just got lit up by Tyrod Taylor. And then he has the Jets. Jags, Jets, scoop him up. At running back, only but a goodie, Mark Ingram. It was looking like a messy, icky backfield situation going into the year. But hey, Ingram had 26 carries to the 15 that Lindsay, David Johnson, and Rex Burkhead had combined. He racked up 85 and a touchdown on those opportunities. He looks like he's going to be the guy. He's clearly a leader in the locker room. He looks juiced and excited to get going. The world's against him. Let's go. Another running back for the Niners, Eli Mitchell. Here's the deal. Mostert, who we love, out 8 weeks, total bummer. He's got a knee injury. Looks like Eli Mitchell's turn on the Niners running back carousel. We see this happen here a lot. He's a sixth rounder. He went off on Sunday, a buck 04, a touchdown, 19 carries. I love the volume there. A lot of people expected Trey Sermon to be a factor. I'm not saying you should drop him. He's obviously worth stashing, keeping an eye on. But go ahead and pick up McGroom on the roster because Shanahan even asserted yesterday Mitchell is further ahead, and that's why he's getting the work over Sermon so far. Sermon, of course, inactive in week one. Don't drop him. Just make room if you can't. At wide receiver, Nelson Aguilar led the Patriots with 72 yards and a touchdown, quickly becoming one of Mac Jones's favorite targets. Let's not forget he scored 8 touchdowns as a Raider last year. We sleep on the fact that he had a resurgent year because we focus on what he didn't do with the Eagles. Love the matchup this week against the Jets. Okay, finally, Cardinals rookie receiver Rondale Moore. 4 catches, 68 yards on 5 targets. We haven't even gotten to see him in the run game at all in regular season action. He's not just a cool play, bro. He's not. He's going to get more and more work, I think, as the season progresses. He'll get more involved. I don't know if the touchdowns are going to be there, but I still think versatile talent on the ground, through the air. PPR catches will count. So DeAndre might take touchdowns. Kyler might take touchdowns. But the matchups that they have coming up, the cards of the Vikings and the Jags. So if we take a look at the full list, this is how I would put them in as far as waiver claims. Jameis Winston and Bridgewater at quarterback. If you're picking a running back, I'd go Ingram, then Eli Mitchell. Sermon's still a thing there, of course. Always a weird backfield with Shanahanigans. And then Nelson Aguilar and Rondale Moore. And as far as tight ends, Juwan. over there. Duane Johnson with the Saints, potentially a guy. I'm kidding. Leave Mark Andrews. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I can't get rid of Mark Andrews.
Please do not.
Lamar loves him, man, for sure.
Are you enjoying playing fantasy?
I am. I'm enjoying it. It keeps me involved. It keeps me paying attention to what's going on. And I'm just enjoying being able to control everything versus being controlled. You know, it's a different side of it, right?
It's so true.
Get to be Jim.
At Jimothy with your thoughts. Did we miss anybody? Do you have questions? I'll hit you guys up on my Twitter at HeyKAdams. Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more official podcasts from the NFL, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.